road are you on this evening? What road do you travel? To get from here to there, from now to then, we walk, we fly, we ride, we run, swim, sometimes we crawl. From point A to point B, we move across the earth, clocked by time and measured by distance. Along the way, there are potholes, detours, undertows, turbulence, and bad drivers. There are those who would stop us, delay us, give us false directions. And there are those who would travel with us, offer their support, provide us with what we need to survive, to thrive. Do you travel just to travel? Walk just to walk? Or do you have a destination in mind? A time and a place in mind to be? Our life together in Christ as we move closer to God is a pilgrimage, a holy procession, a long traveling parade to an end, to just one spot. We are not here to wait. We are not here to dally and fidget and linger. We are not here to ponder what we have and to cry over what we are lacking. The church is charged with moving, going out, spreading out and away from the cross and the empty tomb, marching with conviction and purpose into the world. We are measured by the hour and the mile, and our engines are fueled by the Spirit. Where are you going? What are you doing? And why? Our Lord is risen. We know that both the cross and the tomb are empty. The witness of his resurrection spreads from his grave site like a bomb blast, fast, hot, loud, and wild. And for a while, his people wait for the coming of the Spirit. He appears in the locked room to his friends and breathes his Spirit on them, charging them by sending them out just as his Father has sent him out. His peace settles on them like a fire. Everything but the good news is burned away. And acting like the Spirit-possessed students that they are, the disciples run wild through the countryside spreading the good news. And for their trouble, they find themselves standing before judges, kings, princes, standing in front of both gospel-hungry crowds and very angry crowds. But this is where they are, in their world, the sighted and hearing among the blind and the deaf. What road are you on this evening? What road do you travel, and why? These are Easter questions. We need these answers because the answers are our roadmap. We watch and listen as Peter and the 11 stand before their fellow Jews and remind them of who Jesus is. Jesus the Nazarene was a man commended to you by God. A man commended to you with mighty deeds, wonders, and signs. Deeds, wonders, and signs which God worked through him in your midst. This man you killed. This man you killed using lawless men to crucify him. But God raised him up, releasing him from the throes of death because it was impossible for him to be held by death. Then we read in Peter's letter, conduct yourselves with reverence during the time of your sojourning, realizing that you were ransomed from your futile behavior, not with perishable things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. And so you must know, what road are you on? What road do you travel? Do I really need to tell you about the dangerous paths available to us? Is there anyone here who hasn't stepped off the way and found himself or herself in a briar patch, a mud hole or heading toward a cliff. When we strike out with Christ to give witness to His gospel, we are immediately tempted with a whole host of alternative roads, attractive shortcuts and byways. Some are more subtle than others. Some are obvious frauds. Others are weak imitations, off-brand knockoffs, cheap but glamorous. And dressed up in contemporary fashion, they are all as old as the tree in the garden, as old as the serpent himself. Like silver and gold, they are perishable, mortal, temporary, and deadly. There is one path to God, one road to abounding joy, one way, one truth, one life, Jesus Christ and Him alone. On the road to Emmaus, two of Jesus' disciples lament the death of their master and wonder when He will return. They tell the stranger who has joined them that they are hoping that Jesus would be the one to redeem Israel, but that it is now the third day since His execution took place. Just 3 days, and already they are pondering a different road, a wayward path. And this despite knowing that the Lord was not found in His tomb on the third day. Jesus, risen and with them on the road, scolds them. "How foolish you are! How slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke!" Do you see the road here? From the first instant of creation, through the garden to Moses and the law, on to Abraham and the prophets, with the kings of Israel and John the Baptist and our Blessed Mother, to the arrival of the Messiah Himself in Bethlehem and His public ministry in the land, to the mighty deeds and words of power, to His betrayal, arrest, trial, humiliation, execution, and resurrection. Through it all, our Lord has been our navigator, our lighthouse, all the road signs along the way. And He remains our map to the Father, the only map for our peace. So what does it mean to travel the road with Christ? At its most basic, we are obliged by the vows of baptism to take up the apostolic charge, to teach and preach the gospel in season and out, to live for others as Christ died for us. Our road does not lead to personal enlightenment, earth consciousness, cosmic assimilation, or the fulfillment of our felt needs. Our road is not paved with dollars or gold, fashion, academic novelty, intellectual prowess, or religious athleticism. Along the way, we are not to exit at those stops that tempt us with political utopias, spiritualist oases, or philosophical escapes. Our road is not a virtual paradise of motherboards, Wi-Fi connections, or cell phone towers. We are a pilgrim people en route, on parade, in procession, with one another to our perfection in Christ. Anything or anyone who tells us or tempts us to believe that the road is a lonely, solitary way, or that the road we travel is straight and downhill all the way, or that we travel for our health, our wealth, or for the mere building up of the community, all of these voices are lies, and we must shut them out. And we must listen carefully to the Lord. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer? A hard question, and one we might take to heart but refuse the answer because the answer frightens us. Of course, it is a terrible thing that Christ had to die for us, that one man was sacrificed for our sins. But it is a truth we have to face head on. A truth that millions of martyrs have died to affirm. Now, putting aside all my strained travel metaphors, let's say what we mean plainly. Peter and the 11 before the Sanhedrin, Cleopas and the disciple on the road to Emmaus, Peter again in his letter, and Simon and all of those gathered with him in Jerusalem proclaim one truth, one Easter answer for all of our questions of faith. God our Father commended to us the man Jesus of Nazareth with mighty deeds, works, and signs, so that we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit, our eternal lives with Him. Our response, the way that we choose to walk the way of faith, is best expressed in our psalm this evening. Lord, You will show me the path to life, abounding joy in Your presence forever. There is no other way, no other truth, no other life, but the way, the truth, and the life of Jesus Christ. So let me ask you again those Easter questions. What road are you traveling? Where are you going? And why?